This is Brian Cambria with this news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, June 26, 2012. Numerous fires continue to burn across the state, with a new one joining the list. A fire reported yesterday afternoon prompted the evacuation of Chimney Rock Archaeological Area west of Pagosa Springs. The fire was started by a downed power line in Cabazon Canyon, about 2 miles south of State Highway 151. According to the Forest Service, a single-engine air tanker, helicopters, and engines responded to the fire. As of yesterday afternoon, 3 homes were threatened. The fire joins at least 8 others burning in Colorado, including the Waldo Canyon Fire north of Manitou Springs. That fire is at 4,500 acres and 5% contained. It is burning in difficult terrain, and there is extreme danger for significant additional growth. The Denver Post reports that the Waldo fire operation is now being overseen by a Type 1 Incident Command Team, the highest classification for fire emergencies. 4 aircraft and 2 helicopters are fighting the blaze, with more available. The goal is to keep the fire north of US 24. According to the Post, the battle to contain wildfires across Colorado reached a new and more aggressive stage Monday as C-130 military tankers joined the fight to bombard the Waldo Canyon fire with thousands of gallons of fire retardant. 4 of the C-130 aircraft, 2 from the 302nd Airlift Wing of the U.S. Air Force Reserve at Patterson Air Force Base, and 2 from the 153rd Airlift Wing of the Wyoming Air National Guard in Cheyenne, took to the skies with 3,000 gallons of fire retardant in each of their bellies. The planes can drop their huge payloads in less than 5 seconds and can be refilled in 15 minutes. There are only 8 such C-130s plus 1 spare in all of the United States that can be fitted with the special firefighting equipment, and half the fleet is now in Colorado. In southwest Colorado, officials are cautiously optimistic about the Weber fire. They announced 10% containment at a public meeting last night in the small town of Mancos. The fire had come extremely close to the community and an important highway nearby. More than 100 homes have received evacuation notices, including some farmland. Local resident Len Gallagher asked when people could go home, or in his case, back to his hayfield.
It was ready to be cut last Friday, just as the fire hit. And my major concern, since it's non-insured, there's a lot of money in uninsured hay sitting out there ready to be harvested.
The Weber fire has burned more than 8,300 acres as of Monday night, with officials saying there's a good chance of increasing containment in the coming days. No homes have been lost, and no one has been injured. The Red Cross has opened a shelter at the high school in the neighboring town of Cortez. In other wildfire news, the High Park fire remains at 83,000 acres and is now 55% contained. The Little Sand fire, northwest of Pagosa Springs in the San Juans, is now 22,000 acres and 29% contained. And the Telluride Watch reports that the Ouray County Sheriff's Office has canceled Ouray's 4th of July flare parade and municipal fireworks display. Ouray County Sheriff Junior Mativi told the Watch, quote, "This was not an easy decision for any of us, but I think it is the right decision considering what the rest of the state is going through." My apologies to Sheriff Mativi for messing up his name there. As KVNF reported yesterday, a U.S. district judge has largely sided with environmental groups on the issue of oil and gas drilling on Colorado's Rhone Plateau. Environmentalists argued that federal regulators failed to fully examine the consequences, but as Benta Berkland reports, the issue is far from resolved.
In her 38-page ruling, Judge Marcia Krieger said the Bureau of Land Management didn't fully examine how oil and gas drilling on the Rhone Plateau would impact air quality and regional ozone levels. Earth Justice Attorney Michael Freeman argued the case on behalf of environmental groups. He says the decision gives the Rhone a new lease on life.
This is one of the most sensitive important areas of public lands in the state of Colorado. And the court's ruling means that the Roan's going to get another look, and we hope it will be protected.
And while the ruling is seen as a victory for groups suing to stop development, the judge didn't cancel oil and gas leases that have already been issued. She did tell the BLM to go back and re-examine its decision allowing drilling on the Roan. The Bill Barrett Corporation owns most of the leases. The BLM has 60 days to decide whether to appeal the judge's decision, but so far the agency has simply said it's reviewing the case. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A new naval attack submarine will bear the name of the Centennial State. The previous USS Colorado was decommissioned after World War II. The Secretary of the Navy officially named the ship yesterday. And here's Benta Berkland again with more from the State Capitol.
This will be the fourth ship to carry the name Colorado. The first was used in the Civil War and named after the Colorado River. A USS Colorado named after the state fought battles in both World War I and World War II. Ken Jones is a World War II veteran and served on the ship in the Pacific and says she had a glorious military record.
At the island of Tinian, we got hit 22 times with 7-inch shore batteries, all on the starboard side. So what I'm saying is that the decks were baptized with the blood of her sailors.
The new USS Colorado will be an attack submarine and is currently being built in Connecticut. It'll be ready in 2016. Governor John Hickenlooper says it's an important honor for the state.
Unfortunately, we can't do the launching with the champagne bottle here for obvious reasons. But I think the USS Colorado will have the capabilities to help our Navy continue its long-standing tradition of maritime dominance.
Naval Secretary Ray Mabus says the USS Colorado will remain in the naval fleet for about 30 years. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A female police officer was shot and killed Sunday night during Denver's City Park jazz scene. The Denver Post reports that Officer Selena Hollis was shot in the head while breaking up a fight just as the music ended. She was taken to a hospital where she was declared dead. The Post reports that at a late-night news conference, Mayor Michael Hancock asked the residents of Denver to give the police department their prayers and said the city mourned the loss of a single mother and a tremendous leader. Hancock said Denver was still a safe city and that he wouldn't let a few people destroy summer events attended by thousands of people. Police Chief Robert White said one person was in custody but had not been confirmed as a suspect. Governor John Hickenlooper ordered flags be lowered to half-staff yesterday on all public buildings statewide in honor of Officer Hollis. Originally from Detroit, Hollis was a 7-year veteran of the police force. The Blue Mesa Reservoir needs a few years for levels to recover after this year's drought and low snowpack. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that even an average snow year will leave the reservoir well short of its water-holding capacity next year. The Sentinel reports that the amount of water stored in Blue Mesa is tracking almost eerily with that of 2002, the most recent major drought year. According to Dan Crabtree of the Bureau of Reclamation, this year began slightly more promising than 2002, with about the maximum amount of water in Blue Mesa that operators allow, about 574,000 acre-feet. Like 2002, storage levels in Colorado's largest reservoir began to drop this year from January on. The Sentinel reports that if the pattern holds, releases from the reservoir will exceed inflow and the water will drop precipitously in the July to October period. Crabtree told the Sentinel that it could take 2 or 3 years of average snowfall to push wintertime levels back to the target level. Other reservoirs are doing okay for now. As of Friday, Ridgeway was 90% full, Paonia 81% full, and Taylor Park 73% full. This month, the Region 10 Area Agency on Aging will be giving out more than $1 million to senior service providers in our area. The organization will fund 1-year contracts to 11 nonprofit, for-profit, and governmental organizations that offer transportation, caregiver, healthcare, and other services to local seniors. Some of the contracts include All Points Transit, which provides dial-a-ride services to seniors, several county public health agencies, URAE's Neighbor to Neighbor program, and Uncompahgre Volunteer Legal Aid. To learn more about the programs and services offered through the Region 10 Area Agency on Aging, their phone number is 970-249-2436. That's 249-2436. And finally, Colorado senators have written a letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack asking for federal assistance for Colorado farmers and ranchers facing severe drought conditions. Senators Mark Udall and Michael Bennett voiced concerns from Colorado agricultural producers to protect against severe financial losses from the drought, and asked Vilsack to employ all the resources at his disposal to help. According to a release, the USDA has previously declared disaster designations on Colorado counties to help people affected by ongoing drought conditions. Those designations make agricultural producers eligible for financial help to offset losses due to the drought through Farm Service Agency emergency loans and USDA conservation programs. The USDA can offer disaster assistance following a declaration from the governor. And don't forget, today is the day to vote in various political party primaries. Remember to get out and vote if you are a party member and so inclined. This concludes your morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.